What is up, Level Up Nation, and welcome to episode 145 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined for the 145th time by, yes, the one and only, the king of the courtside, Joey. What's up, buddy?
John, life is good. We have a whole lot going on. Besides roster mania happening this week, what it feels like, we also have League of Legends Worlds kicking off.
We do. Joey, tons of topics. If live streams are always fun. If you were here last week, Joey, Discord did not like us very much. It was a little rough last week. We think we're going to be able to get through this one with minimal Discord interruptions.
If that's a question to me, I hope. Discord, if you're listening, let's try not to have that crazy lag out stuff from last week.
We love you, Discord. And you guys can join the OTN Discord community also. But why stop there? Why not follow us on all of the amazing social media as well? We have Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook for this show. That's at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. And while you're at it on Twitter, give Joey and myself a follow. You can find Joey at Courtside King, myself at Fiasco, if you're watching here live on Twitch this glorious Monday, the 30th of September, the last day of September. Also, International Podcasting Day. I'm going to throw that in there, too. Make sure you share this with your friends. Make sure you follow those handles. Beautiful mugshots you're looking at right below us, right there. And if you are listening on a podcast down the road, it'll be in the show notes for you as well. And Nation, we ask you for favors every now and then, and this is no different than last week. We would love for you to take just a small moment out of your day if you so choose to. And it would be an honor if you would leave us a review on your podcatcher of choice. Boy, words are hard today, Joey. If it's not Discord, it's the English language. Level Up Podcast is available on Spotify and Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Reviews do go a long way. And, of course, on International Podcast Day, why not share the Level Up Podcast with friends and family all around the world? It would be an amazing honor to us if you would take time out of your day to leave us an awesome review on those podcatchers. Please and thank you. Nation, we have a champion in Overwatch League Season 2. But the end of the Overwatch season doesn't just mean we have a new champion. No. In fact, it signals the start of Overwatch League free agency. And oh my gosh, if you've been on social media today, it has been an absolute bloodbath, according to the Overwatch League fans out there. Joey, I know Overwatch League is just one topic this week, but I heard rumors it's not the only topic. What else are we talking about this week on episode 145?
Well, John, if you want roster moves, we have Overwatch League. We have Call of Duty. We have League of Legends, NBA 2K. CSGO, we have just about every big esport right now. It feels like we have a huge list of roster moves. On top of that, some big partnerships coming out, especially around the ESL stuff. But yeah, Worlds is starting this week, so you know that's a huge topic as well.
And not only is Worlds for League of Legends starting this week, Joey, I said it once, I'm gonna say it again, we do not have to wake up at 2 a.m. to catch any of these matches, and I cannot tell you how excited I am that I get to sleep in most of these days now. Because League isn't popping on at 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, which also means, Joey, no amazing 4 a.m. watch parties in downtown D.C. with Team Liquid this year. So that is one downside for the later starts. Joey, those are a lot of topics, and I don't know about you, but I know I'm going to need a little bit of assistance. So before we kick this thing off, I'm going to need to know, sir, your drink of choice for episode 145.
Well, John, not alcohol this week. I'm having some hand issues with my left hand, so I'm on some painkillers. So I am drinking water, but I'm going a little bougier. We're going Spindrift, a little sparkling lemon.
A little bougier.
Yeah, why not? Not regular water. It's got a little kick.
Joey, are you telling me alcohol and painkillers do not mix?
Yeah, I decided not to. This hand is just driving me crazy today, so we're going to see what happens.
Well, Joey, I will make up for your lack of alcohol this episode. I am going back to the original drink that I had when I first turned 21, because that's the first time I've ever had alcohol was when I turned 21. The Amaretto Sour. It's delicious, and I'm not going to say nutritious. It's definitely not. There's a lot of sugar in there. Joey, we have our beverages. We have our topics. I don't waste any more time because Discord so far, so good. Let's jump right into gaming and esports news. Let's go.
Kicking things off with the fighting game community, we have Renegades picking up Ryuga as their newest player in the Super Smash Bros. Scene. Overall, John, this is something we see a lot with fighting games. There's a lot of player movement going on. I think Smash is a great game to invest into. The scene has been around for forever, it feels like. It continues to grow. Even the older games are still played regularly in the scene. If you're going to invest into the fighting scene, I think Smash is a very good way to do it, alongside stuff like Street Fighter.
Very passionate, very large fan base in Smash. Crazy that not all organizations, even if they're small organizations trying to make their way into esports and try to gain their footing in esports, surprised there's not more organizations involved in Smash.
And new organizations being involved in scenes. John, the NBA 2K. So the NBA 2K League has traditionally been NBA teams buying into an esports league. Now we're taking a little different path here. Genji is actually able to buy in now. They're going to join the NBA 2K representing Shanghai. So they're going to be not only the first team not associated with an NBA organization, but they're also going to be the first team outside of North America. I really, really, really like this move from NBA 2K.
Not only are they going to be the first team outside of North America, they are the first team in China. That is absolutely massive. If you are, you know, cognizant of the esport realm, you know how big China plays a factor in a lot of these esport tournaments and the esport scene. This is massive. Not only is esports massive in China, the NBA is quite possibly just as big, if not bigger, than esports in China as well. China has a huge basketball following. This is what the NBA 2K League needed. They needed a team in China. This is going to open that international door. This is going to open up that pathway into China and to other Asian countries that love basketball. This is absolutely massive. This is what they've been looking for, a way to expand internationally. Next up, I want to see Europe. I want to see more Asian teams. I want to see South America as well. South America has a huge NBA following as well. Don't stop at just China. Don't just because you got into China first, NBA 2K League, don't let that satisfy you. Keep growing. Keep going for that international community. NBA 2K League has a very strong following in the sports gaming world. Don't stop at China. This is huge for that league, and I can't wait to see how Genji is going to go forward with this.
Right, and like you said, the NBA already has great footing over in China as far as viewership numbers from Chinese fans. I'm curious to see how this translates over to NBA 2K. With China also having a huge esport watching population, do you see fans flocking more to teams like this one in Shanghai with Genji, or do you think they flock to their traditional NBA teams that they follow?
You know, they may flock to their traditional NBA teams. You know, the Lakers are massive. The Knicks, because they're in New York, Brooklyn as well. The Nets have a very strong following in Asian culture as well. So it wouldn't surprise me. They may not flock directly to Genji. You are going to get the esport fan that may not be as big into NBA flock to their NBA 2K League team. But I really do think this opens a door for China and their fans to really flock towards their team that they identify with, that they choose to root for. You know, if they're Laker fans, I see them going for Lakers Gaming. If they're Wizards fans, I see them going for WizDG. That's just the way I personally see it playing out until we get more Chinese organizations in the NBA 2K League. But either way, it's a win-win.
Yeah, and I think it becomes an even bigger win-win if we see more cross-promotion between the actual league itself and the NBA 2K League. Because once you make that route, then you can start having player meet and greets. It seems like this NBA 2K team from Shanghai is going to play in LA for the first season, or at least be based out of LA and play in the New York studio. If we eventually see some more travel coming in, if there's more Asian teams, more European teams, like you said, then I think we could potentially see player meetups or something like that later on, or like an Asian tour. Maybe the 5, 6, 7 teams play a few games in Asia, NBA 2K and NBA. So I feel like there's definitely cross-promotion opportunities if the league is more open to allowing the two to market together. And I think that's really the big key. The international expansion is one piece. The marketing together is a whole nother one.
And that does raise an interesting question. If NBA 2K League teams cannot use their parent club's social media, is Gen G's NBA 2K League going to be allowed to use the amazing ecosystem that Gen G has built for their esport following? I feel like if they do allow them to use that, that's an unfair advantage versus what the NBA 2K League teams have to face. I feel like this is going to be a point where the NBA 2K League is going to have to make this decision. Can or can we not use our parent club's social media and marketing departments to really promote this team? Or are we going to stay on the separate but equal kind of deal here when it comes to social media and marketing, where you are charging your NBA 2K League team to advertise at the same rate as other sponsors are for your NBA team, to get their name out there as a sub team of the NBA team. So a lot of question marks coming here. Really kind of curious to see how the league is going to handle this going forward.
Right. And enough of this, but I just want to say, if you want to continue building both brands, why not do it together? Why not enable that cross promotion just to reach out to more people for both sides? I don't see as many negatives to combining them as I do see in keeping them separate. So hopefully the NBA 2K League and the NBA decide on that to move forward. But I love the fact we are seeing international expansion now. Speaking international, London Call of Duty adds Jurd. We don't have to hit too many of these Call of Duty moves. This one in particular was one that I saw pop up on my timeline. And it just made me think, John, now we're getting to that time where we're going to see more and more Call of Duty roster announcements. Some people are picking up full rosters. Some people are picking up player by player. When do you expect those full rosters to come out?
Probably sooner rather than later. You're going to want to get time to get these teams together. You want that chemistry. You want that communication. You want to have a team set up in every aspect. You want them, if they're going to be in a gaming house, you want them moved in. You want the camaraderie, the teamwork, the communication, the chemistry. You want to start building that as soon as possible. I expect this to be one of many announcements for the Call of Duty League for rosters and those teams. It's going to open like a floodgate. They're going to need to start signing players, and they're going to need to do it quick, because the last thing you want is to put a team together going into the first season and have a mediocre product to give to the fans. There's a lot of esports out there trying to grab the attention of esport fans out there. You cannot settle for a mediocre first showing. It will harm that league like crazy. So I think sooner rather than later.
I'd have to agree, especially with the new Call of Duty title coming out in October. You would think they're going to try to lace it in with that to pump up the esports scene as they move that direction, especially with franchising coming out for Call of Duty now as well. So I'm thinking early October is kind of the pinpoint I'm aiming for. Over to the Overwatch League, which did impress fans this past weekend in Philadelphia with their finals. We have the Shanghai Dragons promoting Moon from their academy team, Team CC, as their main team head coach for Season 3 of the Overwatch League. John, I really like this move in particular. The Shanghai Dragons looked solid throughout this past year. They definitely showed improvement stage to stage, but I love the fact that they are promoting within as well. They're showing, hey, our academy team did well. We like the coaching style of Moon here. We're going to give him a chance with the main team. In many aspects, it is good to look outside the team, especially if a team is struggling. But with a team like Shanghai, I love the fact that they looked internally. Personally, I think it's the right move. I don't know too much about Moon, but his record speaks for itself. I feel like there's a lot of success to be had with him on the main roster, and I love the fact they're at least going to give him a chance to kick off Season 3.
And how nice is it that we actually get to start this Overwatch part of our show with a positive note? No, it's great. And really, I think Shanghai is in a unique position, because last year they were so bad. They had a lot of turnover. They were going through coaches. They were going through front office members. They were going through high-ranking officials left and right in that organization trying to right that ship. Season 2, they did that. They figured it out. They got the players. They got the coaches. They got the front office. They understand what they're doing. They're trying to build that organization the right way. With a solid organization that Shanghai has developed into an Overwatch League, it is so smart to promote from within, because that's another sign, of stability going forward. I absolutely love it. Shanghai was an absolute force to be reckoned with in Season 2, and I can't wait to see more internal moves like this, not just for Shanghai, but across the board, hopefully, of stable organizations kind of growing that ecosystem they have in-house and really promoting from within. But also, let's be real here. You have to look outside in as well. But at the same time, if you already have them in-house, that's the best way to reward hard workers in your organization, is by giving that next step up to try to prove himself.
Right. And Shanghai in particular, if you just look at the success they had this season compared to last season, Shanghai was the worst team in the league by far in the first season. Now they come into season two, stage one, stage two, they're looking all right, but you see vast improvement throughout the stages. And I think that just shows how much the organization has grown and how much they know the direction they went ahead at this point. Into the not-so-happy news, the Washington Justice have announced the departure of their coaching staff. That's Wizard Hyung, Avila, MKL, and Shrug Rug. Shrug-a-rug. Shrug-a-rug? I definitely pronounced that wrong, and I apologize. Overall, this is something you're going to see as well, John. We see a ton of coaching additions, a ton of player additions. You're also going to see coaches and players get cut as well, this being that particular move. The Washington Justice, yes, they look great in stage four. I think a lot of that credit goes to the 2-2-2 change as well, though. When you look at a huge change like that where players and teams have to lock into certain rosters, that definitely changes the atmosphere. When you look at the coaching, yes, it does have an impact, but also the players are able to play more comfortable roles. So there's a lot of decisions that go behind stuff like that. You have to weigh out both parties. How much was the coaching because of the change? How much was the players part of that change? How much was the change of the rosters itself playing into this impact? So there's a whole bunch of factors to look at. See, this is why I have water tonight as well. And I think that's part of the reason we see this change being made. The coaching staff didn't look that great in the first few stages. They got it together toward the end, but there were a lot of other major factors to consider as well.
Yeah, and let's be real here. You know, the Justice did turn around. Like, the last stage, stage four, 6-1. That's a very good record. And, Joey, I agree with you 150% here. It is definitely because of the 2-2-2 meta. I mean, you cannot have someone like Corey playing an off tank. It just doesn't work. That's not what that team was built to do. Now, something else to think about also, please remember, a lot of these players were signed to 2-year deals going into season one. This is the end of season two. Free agency is not necessarily a bad thing. In fact, it's incredibly healthy for the ecosystem in Overwatch League. It's a way the players can demand their worth. You know, if a player played out of his mind for two seasons, or if they're on an expansion team, they had a one-year deal, and they played out of their mind, they can say, hey, look, I would love to come back to your organization, but I want to be compensated for what I was able to do. You know what I'm capable of doing. Now show me what I'm worth to your organization monetarily. That's how this works. That's how traditional sports works. That's how it works in the workplace. You have contract negotiations. It is healthy. Now, Twitter, I've been following you all day. There's a lot of people freaking out with these players saying, hey, I'm a free agent now, and I'm open to all offers, and everyone's freaking out going, oh my gosh, so-and-so left my favorite team. Look, I get it. You're a fan. You're allowed to have that reaction. It doesn't mean they're not coming back. If anything, a free agent is more attracted to coming back to their original organization because the chemistry is there, the teamwork's there, the communication's there. They're familiar with the area and what they're dealing with at that organization. If it's a mutual fit, then they're coming back. Don't count your chickens before the eggs hatch, I believe is the old saying. I almost screwed that one up. But just take a breath. We got this. We're good. There's going to be a lot more announcements coming out than just the Washington Justice. So relax. Let's ride the roller coaster and let's see what happens. These players aren't going anywhere. They're staying within the league. And yes, hopefully your favorite player re-signs with your favorite team.
Right, and like John says, this happens in sports all the time. I mean, LeBron James in Cleveland is one example. Yes, he left Cleveland at one point, but there was also the point where he tried free agency just to restructure his contract. This is where you're going to see players go out and say, hey, I'm being offered less money here, or I think I can get offered more money somewhere else. They're going to test the waters. What kind of offers do I get from other organizations? What kind of offer can I get from my current organization, whether that be a raise in pay, whether that be a slightly restructured contract that may be less, maybe more. There's a whole bunch of different things that happen here. Until a player has completely signed on, they are a free agent, whether it be going back to the team they came from, whether it be going to a completely different team, whether it be living in free agency, like we see some wide receivers in the NFL who can't behave properly. So there's a whole bunch of different things that can happen here. Like John said, don't freak out. I mean, I'm wearing Ark's jersey right now. Ark is one of those players that announced free agency today. He very well could go back to the Washington Justice. He very well could go to another team. At this point, we don't know. He's going to test the water. He's going to see what offers he gets. Eventually, he'll probably land somewhere. We just don't know where that is yet. But don't freak out just yet. Any of these players could go back to their original team. Any of these players could move on to a different team. But for now, we really don't know until those offers start coming in. You like my little Antonio Brown dig there?
I loved it. I absolutely freaking loved it.
Moving on to League of Legends, guys. We have a lot of league moves here. SK Gaming has decided to part ways with mid laner Pyrion. Who was Pyrion originally with NA? Do you remember?
Oh, don't ask me questions I'm not prepared for.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I want to say it might have been Phoenix 1. I might be wrong, though. So Pyrian played... Was it Phoenix 1? Okay.
Phoenix 1.
So he played in the NALCS at the time. Then from there, he moved over to South Korea and played in the LCK with SK Telecom, where he replaced Faker for a bit. And then he moved his way over to Europe for SK Gaming. Not quite having the career that Huni has had and the success in all these different regions, but at the same time, he has had a good little way. He definitely did better in spring than he did in summer with SK, and they've decided to part ways. Pyrian's contract is probably not cheap, John, especially having experience playing with SK Telecom, and he's not performing at the highest level some of these younger mid laners are in Europe. I'm not surprised at all by this move by SK.
No, it's actually a smart move by SK. And again, this is where free agency comes into it. If a player doesn't live up to their contract, at the end of their contract, if they want to stay with the organization, they're going to have to give up some perks. They're going to have to give up some dollars. Or they're going to have to go to a different team or a different league where their value is seen differently. That's the beauty of free agency. It's two sides valuing each other, coming to an agreement. I think this is a better move for SK Gaming, dropping Pyrian, going forward. It's a smart move. He has not been the same in several years. So I'm glad to see SK making that move, and hopefully Pyrian bounces back.
Right, and it's just like we said with free agency. Money needs to be restructured. They could potentially re-sign him. I don't see it happening here. I think he can get more money somewhere else, but he's definitely not, or he should not be making the money he is, if I'm assuming right, from that SK deal, because he's just not performing on that level right now. So we'll see what happens. I would not be surprised to see him go to NA next. The LCK is number 2 seed Griffin has bid farewell to their coach CV Max just prior to the kickoff of Worlds. And John, that's not all. The LCK's number 3 seed Damwon will also be without their head coach Marco, as he'll be sitting out Worlds due to health reasons. So we're looking at the powerhouses over in South Korea, the LCK, the League of Wonders, that has won so many championships of League of Legends at Worlds. Now they already have their number 2 seed and number 3 seed without their head coaches. This, to me, is crazy, and I think it really opens up a lot of these groups. I still see Damwon making out of play-ins. I still think they make a good run in Group D if they make it there. I also see Griffin doing well, but I think this opens up the door for your boys Cloud9 to have a little bit more edge toward that second seed over in Group A.
Yeah, you know, you would hope that losing a coach wouldn't impact the team that much. They know what the coach wants. They know the style of play. They've been playing it all year. They know what the coach would say in these situations. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough because the coach is so much more than just someone that teaches you strategy or drafting or you know the macro or the micro parts of the game. It's literally someone who holds a team together. It's someone who motivates you. Someone who is the glue between the players to bring the organization together. Or in a lot of cases, that's what the head coach does act as. So it's tough. It's always tough when a head coach leaves, whether they depart the team, whether they're sick and they can't be there. It's tough, and it's going to be a major hurdle for these teams to overcome. I think if there's any teams in the world that can do it, it's going to be a team from LCK to overcome that hurdle. But yeah, Joey, it's a massive hurdle. And, you know, as a Cloud9 fan, I'm happy. But at the same time, I'd rather Cloud9 beat the best at their peak versus having, you know, some kind of situation happen and C9 just kind of getting lucky. I mean, no fan of a team or an organization wants to get that, you know, I'm not gonna say a cheap win, but no one you want to earn that win. You want to go forward and beat that team. You want to prove something. And it's hard to do that if a team is playing at half health or half strength or without a coach. So it's good, but it's also bad.
Right, and I think a lot of this is probably going to come down to the draft phase. Like, one thing is team preparation. One thing is working on those strategies ahead of time. I think the analysts can cover a lot of that still. When it comes down to the draft, though, I feel like that's when the coach really shined for these teams. He was able to really bring everyone together to form this solid composition, and that's why we see the LCK being so dominant. So I'm very curious to see how that works, especially the vision as well. LCK teams are very strong when it comes to vision. Without those coaches there to really lead that guidance. Yes, like you said, the players know the style. The players should have known the style after playing under this coach for, what, 6 months or so? 7 months at this point. So they should have developed some kind of chemistry and style with that coach and are able to carry that on even without him. At the same point, I do think we're going to see a big impact, especially in the draft phase and some of the team preparation. Moving on down, still with rosters, though, League of Legends still. Evil Geniuses has acquired the LCS slot previously owned by Echo Fox. This was the one that went through all of the drama. We had a team buy it, a team backed out. Echo Fox wasn't able to bring out their major stakeholder after the racist comment to Rich Fox. So Rick Fox is here. He's still saying, hey, this needs to happen. League of Legends, Riot Games is saying this needs to happen. It doesn't happen. Riot Games ends up taking up the spot. They auction it off based on a procedure that's about a month-long version of what they did for franchising. They eventually chose Evil Geniuses. The majority of the money went to Echo Fox for the slot sale, and then a little bit of it went to Riot Games for executing the sale, I guess you'd say, kind of like stock market. So overall, Evil Geniuses is back. They will be making their way back to the League of Legends scene, taking over the Echo Fox spot, and they have not performed in League of Legends since 2014.
I cannot think of a nastier story in esports right now than the whole thing with Echo Fox. Just with everything that has happened in the sale of that spot, I mean, we could have an entire show on that alone, just the ins and outs of what happened. Obviously, we're not going to do that. It's sad to see Echo Fox go, especially in the way that they did. It's not good. It's not good for Echo Fox. It's not good for esports how it happened. But it's good to have Evil Geniuses back. I just wish it wasn't at the cost of Echo Fox.
And I think Echo Fox is just going to go down, down, down from here. We won't touch on it this week because stuff is still kind of unraveling, but it sounds like Rick Fox is probably going to be out over there as well. So there's a whole bunch of moving pieces still happening. It honestly looked like Echo Fox is on the decline, selling off spots, losing spots on top of that. It looks like they're pretty much just competing in, it almost feels like just fighters at this point. So I think we're going to continue to see the decline of that organization and eventually maybe a possible sell-off as well. Sticking with Evil Geniuses, though, after 7 long years, they've also made their way back to the Counter-Strike scene. So not only joining League of Legends, they're also joining Counter-Strike as of this past week, and they did so by purchasing the NRG roster. That roster went on to debut at ESL 1 New York this past weekend. And John, spoiler, they won the whole thing. They freaking just came back after 7 years. They bought a roster that's not even the top roster right now. Went on to win the whole competition.
Cheat codes, man. Cheat codes. Cheat codes are amazing. No. I'm not accusing anyone of cheating. Don't even go there. No, it's a great story. You know, EG is making a comeback. Like, they kind of fell off for a little bit, and now they're like, no, we're back in League. No, now we're, you know, back in CSGO. And boom, they win a major in their first competition. That's absolutely absurd. And with the roster, that's considered good, but not elite. A roster that's not considered, you know, one of the best in the world. They come out and they win a major right off the get-go. That's awesome. That's a great way to start your journey back into the CSGO scene, to journey back to esport fan. It's not fandom. They already have fans. They got tons of fans. Evil Genius is huge. It's a good showing for them, and it's really positive. It's a great way to kick off your reemergence, if you will, into the CSGO scene.
Right, and it's more than anything, it's EG saying, we are here to compete on the highest level. Yes, we've always been good at Dota 2. Yes, we've shown up in these other scenes. But now they're joining back into League of Legends and CSGO, two of the biggest scenes out there. And to come out in CSGO in one of the bigger tournaments, take down Astralis 3-1 and end up winning in their first tournament back, I mean, that's just obnoxiously good. Huge kudos to Evil Geniuses. They got great organization, great leadership over there, and I expect this organization to continue to grow, not only in CSGO, but I think we will see them have success in League of Legends and many of their other scenes as well. Fnatic has wished goodbye and good luck to Twist as he's going to head on to Ninjas in Pajamas for CSGO as they round out their roster. Additionally, FNC former Heroes of the Storm pro and Apex team manager Smexy is moving over to be their new CSGO team manager, with the past team manager moving on to be the head coach. So a few more shuffles here with Fnatic. It all looks pretty much internal, though, whether it be old players coming back or whether it be coaches being shifted around. Fnatic is staying with their tried and true and hoping it works again for the third time here. G2 CSGO says goodbye to Shox, while Cloud9 bids farewell to Rush, who is now headed over to Complexity. I might be wrong, but I think Shox headed to Team Vitality as well. So a lot of big player movement in the CSGO scene right now, with all these majors ending, with more majors starting up in October. A lot of the big blockbuster roster moves are being made now. The last one of those, Cold Zera and Brokey, are moving to FaZe Clan to round out their new look. Cold Zera being one of the biggest in-game leaders in the scene, one of the most popular players. He played for Luminosity, he played for SK, extremely talented player. Now he's playing for FaZe Clan. John, we have some very star-studded rosters being formed over here in the CSGO scene.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, CSGO, you know, their rosters are very fluid. And it's a great opportunity for organizations to try new talent, to try to move rosters around, maybe see what's going to work, especially if their roster, let's say, has underperformed. Cloud9, ever since that amazing Boston Major that they won, has kind of been underperforming. Not saying it's all Rush's fault, but this is a step in the direction that the organization needs to go. Releasing Rush signing with another team. It's good for Rush. It's good for Cloud9. These moves are smart for teams that are struggling to maintain their place in a scene, to try to remain competitive against the top dogs in CSGO. And Joey, you said it. This is the start of that season of free agency, of the start of players moving around, trades happening. It's going to happen. This is just the start of it. Expect to hear more in CSGO as the season goes on.
Expecto Patronum. FaZe Clan partners with Man City, a very popular and successful football soccer club over in England. John, the deal was made to create new experiences for their fans and bring them together in unprecedented ways. Additionally, the deal will include a shared training facility, co-branded products, and content that includes competitors from both sides. This is not the first deal of its kind. I think there's a number of them out there. The Bundesliga over in Germany has a few of these. One that brings to mind as a Fnatic fan, Fnatic and Roma was one of the first ones to really form in this way. Roma said, hey, we want to get into FIFA esports. They partnered up with Fnatic because they were well known. Fnatic said, sure, we'll co-brand the jerseys with our logo and your logo. We'll work together to build up this esports organization. This one seems a little different, so it kind of builds on that same mindset, but this is almost saying, like, FaZe Clan and Man City are completely partnering up, and we're going a step further. We're going to develop a facility together as well. I mean, that's huge. That's giant to me. I mean, you're looking at one of the biggest clubs over in Europe, Man City, one of the most successful in European soccer, and now they're partnering up with FaZe Clan, who's one of the most successful esports orgs out there, especially in scenes like CSGO. I think this is going to be a really good move for both scenes, or both teams, both organizations, everyone involved, really, especially with the organizations building a facility, but also the co-branding between two very successful organizations.
Competitive teams in Europe. Joey, I do not want to go down this road. I would say they're competitive, not successful. That's just my bias coming through also as not a big fan of Man City. No, I mean, it's massive. Like you said, Joey, we've seen deals like this before, but not in the terms of the extent that they're going with this deal, like you just said with Man City. I think this is a step in the right direction. I think this is a great way to again show how esports is growing, especially in Europe. And there's no really better way to do it than partnering with these football clubs. And really, they're more than just soccer clubs. They're entire sport organizations. Like when you take a look at like the team in Europe I follow, FC Bayern, they're more than just a soccer club. They have the men's division, they have the women's division, but they also have a basketball team. They have, I'm blanking on, I believe they have volleyball. I believe they have so much more than just their soccer team. And this is a way that these football clubs, these sport organizations in Europe can add another dimension to what they offer as an organization, as a club. Esports. It's absolutely great. I want to see more deals like this. I want to see more major organizations in Europe really buy into esports, because I think that is going to just improve even more. Esports is here. Esports is staying, and esports is going to be growing and will be the next big thing all around the world sooner rather than later.
Now, as a Man City fan myself as well, I am a little disappointed by the missed opportunity to partner up with Cloud9. Why not keep the baby blue on both sides? I feel like the color scheme would have worked so well.
It would have, and I would have been at a very difficult crossroad if they partnered up with Cloud9. My loyalties to FC Bayern are very strong, and I have issues with Man City, so we'll just go ahead and leave it there.
I don't know. I love it, and I think the idea of that, plus the fact that Cloud9 really has such a reach in NA as well, would help expand that Man City brand. I mean, obviously you have New York FC here in the MLS as well doing that. But I don't know. I just feel like there was a missed opportunity as far as color scheme and really success. I mean, you look at Cloud9, they have one of the best Rocket League teams out there. Yeah, it's not the greatest thing, but I think that's also another way to expand your partnership between the sports and esports world. Rocket League, like we've talked about before, is that perfect game to really blend the two. I just, at least from my perspective, FaZe is great, but I think there were missed opportunities here with Cloud9 possibly.
Can you imagine if that partnership did happen? You introduce some big name player off of Man City, and then right behind him, Squishy Muffins from Cloud9's Rocket League team. Like, that would be a meme in itself. Like, I can see, like, Pep Guardiola, before he moves on to whatever club he's going to go to next season, have him walk out and then right behind him, or even better, introduce Squishy Muffins first and then Pep, because that, I think that would be even a bigger meme. I don't know.
I still think you're missing opportunities here. I think sneaky cosplaying as Pep Guardiola would be even better.
Okay, first off, Sneaky does not cosplay as guys, as we've noticed.
There's a first time for everything. If there's money involved, you never know.
And his cosplay is spot on. So I think it'd be one of those things where it's like, which one's the real Pep? I don't know. I can't really tell.
Too much of that. We are going to stick in the UK, though, for this next one. ESL UK has announced a brand sponsor of Mercedes-Benz to support the entry of Dota 2 into their own dedicated tournament within the National League, ESL Premiership, for the first time ever. Mercedes-Benz has partnered up with ESL before for a successful Dota 2 tournaments in 2018 and 2019. That was with ESL 1 Birmingham, and now they're moving it over to the UK here with the ESL Premiership. I think this is a really good move overall. Dota has shown time and time again that's a very popular title that can pull in tons of prize pool money as well through revenue sharing. Or crowdfunding. It's just, there's so much success behind Dota 2. On top of that, ESL has shown they can run events very well too. They've done it with Dota before. They've done it in Birmingham. Why not move it over to the UK Premiership here? I think it's going to work really well. If you look at anyone that knows how to do it, Mercedes-Benz is very successful. ESL is very successful. We know Dota 2 is very successful. I don't really see a way that this fails.
Yeah, and Mercedes-Benz, they know what they're getting into. They sponsor several organizations. They sponsor other esport events. Teaming up with ESL and Dota 2, Joey, you hit the nail right on the head. Dota 2, a title that every year makes news for breaking its own record for the largest single pot in esports history. You team that up with a successful car dealer like Mercedes-Benz, where in the U.S. it's considered like an ultra luxury item, but in Germany, I actually rode in a Mercedes taxi cab out of the airport. It was really weird. But yeah, Mercedes has a massive name. It's a very strong brand. You team that up with ESL and Dota 2, Joey, just like you said, it almost can't fail. It's three strong organizations that understand what they're doing, and I can't wait to see how big this can get in Europe.
Absolutely ginormous, and there's going to be a way to measure it as well. ESL and DreamHack have enlisted Nielsen for measurement and valuation covering ESL and DreamHack events. John, can you give us a bit of an idea of what Nielsen does?
So Nielsen is a ratings company. What they do is homes that qualify for Nielsen are given a meter, and this meter listens for signals from broadcasts on TV that are unique to that program. And it records that. And it's all done anonymously, supposedly. All done anonymously. And just kind of records how long you watch a certain program. And it compiles, you know, peak viewership time. Think of it like Twitch on steroids, except you're not going to get view bots. There's no way to view bot Nielsen because it's all done individually. The big question here that I have is, this is Nielsen's really first adventure into esports. They don't really have a system planned as of yet that I know of that can track online viewership. Because again, that signal that it listens for is so unique. It's only done through television. It's only done through those airwaves at that frequency. There is no way to measure online viewership yet. There's no way that Nielsen can be used for, like, let's say, satellite radio. There's certain hurdles that Nielsen as a company has to get over. This is a step in the right direction if they're looking at teaming up with ESL and DreamHack to kind of offer this source of measurement. It's trusted through all the major networks. It's trusted through all the major traditional sport leagues as well, and in the music industry. So there's a lot of different things they can do. But the big question here is, have they developed that technology to really look at the online portion of it?
So I know they've worked with Riot Games a bit before. I think it started this year, like in June or April, if I remember correctly. And I want to say Riot is on their board as well for developing their esports stuff. So I'm thinking with a company as successful as Riot Games and with League of Legends, they're going to be able to provide some kind of statistics. But like you said, I'm not 100% sure how they'll measure that as well. With it going off of some TV stuff currently, will it be able to pull from Twitch, from Mixer, from other platforms like that as easily? So I think that's the biggest question mark more than anything. New Meta Entertainment CEO Mike Prindy has invested $30 million into Dignitas, stating our global content vision is one that fell perfectly in line and have direct synergies. So essentially, we wouldn't have found better partners with Dignitas. So they're really excited here. I think it's going to be really good seeing New Meta Entertainment and Dignitas partner up. Dignitas is coming in like a train with a full head of steam, Jod, it feels like. This is a brand that fell out of the LCS. They were not allowed back in with franchising, not because they're bad, but because Riot saw more potential in other brands potentially at the beginning. But Dignitas, like their resiliency in the league in previous years, they found their way back, and they probably have found their way back up toward the top if I had to take a guess. This brand is really continuing to grow. They've rebranded the logo. They've rebranded the name, dropping team from Team Dignitas to just Dignitas. With the rebranding, with the new rosters, with the new franchising in League of Legends, I feel like there's a lot of success here. They have a new headquarters as well. Dignitas just looks new. It looks fresh, but it comes with the history that it's built upon as well. I think they are a really, really good organization to invest in, and I completely back Prindy investing $30 million into them. You look very studious over there.
Nah, I'm good.
So exciting stuff there. Congratulations, Dignitas, on your $30 million. If you want to donate, OTN is always looking for a nice share as well, and we'd love to support you with our logo on stream. But let us know. Logitech, they've acquired Streamlabs, a leader in software and tools for live streaming. John, are we on Streamlabs right now?
We are on Streamlabs right now.
Look at that. And Logitech paid $89 million in cash with an additional payment of $29 million potentially coming in Logitech stock, subject to the achievement of significant revenue growth within Streamlabs. So it's kind of like one of those deals you see in a lot of sports and a lot of esports. If you do this, then you get increased this. So it's little bonuses built in overall in the contract. This is a really good move by Logitech, in my opinion. Logitech is an organization that we've seen continuously win out in a lot of markets as far as peripherals go, as far as anything computer gaming goes, really. They continue to build out that brand. They continue to be a major sponsor in esports events. Why not jump on what esports organizations are now? Besides professional players, what are esports organizations going after? They're going after fans. And what's the way they're doing that? Through streamers. Logitech is saying, hey, not only are we going to sponsor streamers by giving them peripherals, but why not just buy the platform they're using to stream on as well? With OBS kind of, in a sense, falling to the wayside a bit and combining with Streamlabs, Streamlabs has become that big, big player in streaming. There's a few others out there, but Streamlabs has really become much more dominant this past year. Logitech saying, let's get on it early. Let's buy it for around $100 million before it gets absolutely insanely valued. Let's do this now while esports is still building up its valuation. I think this is an incredible move from Logitech.
And if there's one thing I really like from this deal, it's knowing that Logitech is probably going to tweak the interface system for Streamlabs and Streamlabs OBS. And I say that because if Logitech offers great interfaces for their gaming applications on computers. I have a Logitech keyboard. I have a Logitech mouse. I swear by Logitech. This is not an ad. This is all my personal opinion. I love Logitech as a product. They make great products that last a long time and have high levels of standards. Same thing with their application. Same things with their programming. If that is one thing that they can bring to Streamlabs to make it even better, I'm going to absolutely love it. Streamlabs OBS is already great as it is. They've done some quality of life changes in the recent months and has been absolutely fantastic. I, for one, welcome a lot of those changes they have brought onto it just from a streaming perspective here. But it's going to be even better when Logitech takes over going forward. Great tweaks are going to happen to Streamlabs, and I can't wait to see what they're going to be.
And while they're doing those tweaks, maybe they'll be snacking on some Tostinos or Totinos. They will be selling frozen pizza snacks featuring Call of Duty Modern Warfare branding and in-game bonuses developed with the help of 100 Thieves founder and CEO Nadeshot. John, this is something we see regularly. Food, whether it be energy drinks, whether it be stuff like pizza rolls, whether it be Cheez-Its is another one, Sour Patch Kids. There are a lot of different promotions for video games and hot up-and-coming video games. This is another one coming out here from COD. I think it's a really good move. If you look at something like frozen pizza snacks, it's very popular. It's going to be easy to market with this. You're going to sell pizza snacks anyway. Why not get a little twist here with some Modern Warfare advertising in? I think it's a good move.
It's absolutely great. And seriously, when you go to like a gaming cafe, you see Tostinos in there. You see these pizza rolls because they all have microwaves. You can nuke these bad boys, bring them to your PC. You can play League. You can grind your way to Silver 2, if I ever get there. Or Gold 2, or even Platinum 1, or Diamond, whatever. You can grind your way in Overwatch with a nice hot plate of pizza rolls right next to you. This is an amazing partnership. This is like right up there with like Mountain Dew, with Pop-Tarts, with Doritos, with all those stereotypical gaming foods. This is perfect. I love this partnership.
Absolutely. Riot Games has announced a multi-year global League of Legends partnership with smartphone maker OPPO. OPPO will sponsor the game's World Championship, Mid-Season Invitational, and All-Star events through 2024. John, we're not talking this year. We're not talking next year. We're talking about the next 5 years going on here. Long-term partnership through 2024. They're really going to test the waters. What does esports have to offer? What can we get out of it? Let's try it for a few years. On top of that, the brand will be used to present broadcast content as well as the MVP award for at least two of the events. So OPPO really buying in. They really want to test the waters for esports. Again, I love when organizations are doing this on the earlier end. It's still not as early as it could have been. They could have built these relationships 10 years ago, but now still esports is not at its peak yet. Why not continue to buy in? Why not continue to forge that relationship before even bigger players want to jump in?
So I'm not going to lie. I had to do some research on this company because I've never heard of them before. They are the fifth ranked smartphone brand worldwide. Never heard of them. Never even heard of them. You think Android, you think iPhone. You can tell we live in North America. never heard of them. So they are a Chinese company. And this is where I really think, you know, Riot Games having that relationship with their essentially parent company, Tencent, really comes in. Tencent being a Chinese company. This is an amazing opportunity. Is this going to affect anybody in North America? Probably not. I don't even think this carrier, this phone is even available in North America. I can't find anything that says it is. This isn't their first time doing something major like this. They've sponsored even the Indian national cricket team in 2017. They are a sponsoring partner of the French Open Grand Slam tennis tournament. So they're all over the place. They're out there. But really, for the fifth-ranked worldwide smartphone brand, I'm really kind of surprised that North America hasn't really seen OPPO, or is it OPPO? I'm not even sure if it's actually called by its letters or if it has a solid name here. But I'm really kind of surprised to see what kind of impact this has in the Western markets. If it is already so big in China, what kind of impact is this going to have in North America, in Europe going forward? They've been on a branding spree the past 4 years, even teaming up with K-pop bands to make announcements. So a lot of really cool things that OPPO is doing, or OPPO, but really kind of curious to see how this will affect the North American market.
Absolutely. And with that, we're going to have to speed things up a little bit because we are coming toward the end of the show, but we have quite a bit still to cover. Riot Games has launched ERF Academy Online, a free game design curriculum for middle school and high school teachers looking to inspire the next generation of game designers. John, this is something we're always looking for. It is so many young gamers' dreams to be able to design games, and very few of them pan out. As with any career, everyone dreams to do one thing. I'm sure you wanted to be a professional baseball player or something like that at one point, but it doesn't always pan out. At the same point, the more ability you give those people to test out their skills, those students, if they can test this out, if they can get an idea of what they actually like in that field, there's more opportunity for them to progress in that field as well. That's exactly what ERF Academy Online is going to do. This is going to give teachers the ability to enhance students' ability as far as game design. What are the abilities you can do? What is really the path of game design? How do I get into it? How do I learn if I actually like coding or if I just like looking at images and hoping that I can think about designing games? So I think this is going to be really good for helping students flesh out what they really want to do. Are they really interested in game design, or are they just interested in the idea of game design? Something like this is going to help branch that to make those sectors into each other, as well as give students a way to progress if they are really interested in game design. This is one way for them to figure out more of how to do that designing, how to continue building upon it, and really how to move their education in a route where they can continue to hone those skills as they go on.
Yeah, and this is right up there with STEM education that's really taken the country by storm. It's not available in all places yet. It needs to be. Science and technology is incredibly important in the future going forward. Riot Games realizes that. And what better way to use your already massive footprint in social media and around the world than helping give back to the younger generation, than helping provide a pathway for that next major game developer, that next major graphic designer, to help them learn coding, help them learn graphic design, to help them learn the ins and outs of computer and IT. This is a great way for Riot to give back. And I know it's incredibly popular to trash Riot, but this is one that I will absolutely defend Riot on doing. This is such an amazing opportunity that they're going to be providing for kids all around the world. It sounds like it may just be in North America right now, but I see this expanding possibly even into Europe and globally. I think this can be incredibly successful, and I can't wait to see how this is implemented in local schools.
Right, and with it being online, in a sense, it's going to make it a lot easier. Oh, they actually do have regional offices. St. Louis, Sao Paulo, that's in Brazil, I believe. Sydney, Australia, Mexico City, and Dublin. So they're actually going to be all over the place. It looks like everywhere but Asia is covered so far. So that's cool. So they're already kicking things off at a very regional basis, kicking it off in multiple countries and multiple continents as well. So I'm excited to see how that grows. Like you said, John, I think there's a whole lot of potential. If you're going to learn from anyone, League of Legends, yeah, they haven't designed the most games, but you could argue they've designed one of the most successful games out there. So they definitely have a strong resume to bring into this. Apex Legends Season 3 is upon us. John, I'm sure you're still kicking out with Apex Legends quite regularly. They have a new map incoming where Molten Heat and Chemical Ice are set to collide. Additionally, Crypto will be joining the crew as the newest legend. A few other details coming out here. I believe the update itself is called Meltdown. The new map is going to be called World's Edge. We have the new legend Crypto, and there's going to be a new playground mode implemented as well. That's going to be similar to what we see probably with the creator mode in Fortnite. So there's a whole bunch of different fun things coming here. I think Apex is making the moves they need to. I hope it's not too little too late for them, as we did see quite a drop in player growth over Season 2's patch. But with Season 3 coming out, I think they could reclaim some players. And that's the nice thing with this whole new map structure. If you change something major up, you can draw players back in. I will probably try Apex again, to be honest. I feel like I didn't play at all in Season 2. But with these major changes coming in, I feel like I'd be drawn back in to at least give it another try.
I'll give it a shot. I don't think it's going to be enough to keep me around. But it's about time some of these changes were made. You got to spice things up a little bit every now and then. Come on, guys.
Absolutely. And you're not only getting spicy, but you're getting icy as well with this one. Hot and cold, like a Katy Perry song. We'll have to check that out when Season 3 drops. Twitch is making major changes to advertising on Twitch, which we love, including ad revenue for affiliates. Woo, that is us, John. An option to disable pre-roll ads with commitment of regular ad breaks. So you know when Discord lags us out, that could be a regular ad break for us. See, it's working right into our hand. No pre-rolls on non-partnered affiliate channels as well. And picture-in-picture will be viewable. So if you jump to a stream, you want to see exactly that action that's happening in a world championship, have no fear, because now that ad will play in picture-in-picture. It'll be off to the side. It'll obstruct a bit of your view, but it won't obstruct a ton of it. So a lot of really positive changes coming to Twitch. Twitch, which has made some questionable changes here and there. Some people like the new eye. Some people don't. Some people like the way they've gone about a few things. Some people don't. I think this is going to be really positive for everyone involved, whether it be partners, affiliates, viewers. I think this is a really, really, really good set of moves from Twitch.
I like the new dark mode. That's about it.
Okay, but you haven't seen a lot of this other stuff yet.
You're right. I mainly use the desktop app. I just find it easier to use. And also, that's, you know, the desktop app pretty much came around when Twitch bought out Curse, because that was like the download client you use when you're playing World of Warcraft and you want to have add-ons. So that's essentially what that is now, if you kind of fall off the WoW bandwagon here and there. I like using the desktop app. I think it's great. You have all the same features that you do online. So I haven't really fiddled around with the online version of Twitch yet, the actual web page version of Twitch. Even though when updating the page for this show, again, Joey, that new dark mode, I like.
Yeah, I need to mess around with it a little bit. I have not been on here yet. I'm actually going to activate it right now live. Yeah, it looks good. It's darker than the old dark, though. The menu on the side looks kind of like that Discord dark. So, yeah, dark. Why not?
Darker than the old dark.
I'm a dark mode fan personally. I really like the dark. I mean, you have dark, you have darker dark, you have darkest night. Everyone has their own little thing going, but yeah, Twitch's dark looks pretty clean. I like it. I like it, and I love the idea of ad revenue for affiliates as well. And I like the idea that they can play it out with these pre-rolls not necessarily being a thing. That makes life so much easier for viewers that want to jump in on something happening right now. Results. We went over it a little bit, but ESL One New York was this past week, and EG with their new debut with NRG's roster did take down Astralis in the final 3-1. A huge debut for them. And then over in the Overwatch League, John, we had our finals over there as well. San Francisco Shock up against the Vancouver Titans in what many thought would be a very, very thrilling matchup. How did that one go?
Wasn't very thrilling. Joey, most people picked the winner correctly. Congratulations to the San Francisco Shock. Congratulations, more importantly, to Rascal, someone that we had the opportunity to interact with here locally in the D.C. area. Really nice guy, especially after his fall from grace from the London Spitfire, had the opportunity to bounce back through the NRG Contenders team, got picked up by San Francisco, and played out of his freaking mind in Season 2 all the way to the championship. Joey, a lot of people thought this was going to go the distance. A lot of people thought it was going to go 7 games or at least 6, maybe 5. We didn't even get that, Joey. Instead, we got literally 2 hours and 12 minutes of 4-0 Shock sweepage. Sweepage. Is that even a word? You know what? I'm going to make it a word. Sweepage of the Vancouver Titans. It really wasn't even close. The Shock came out and just absolutely dominated from start to finish. Vancouver put up a little bit of a fight here and there. They had some trickery. They had some unique comps, unique plays that they did. But really, at the end of the day, San Francisco was just that dominant, 4-0 in favor of the Shock.
Right. And it was bad. I mean, congratulations to the Shock. They look very clean. Vancouver, definitely not so clean. They look like Titans got locked in their cave on that one. It's just, I was expecting more of a fun matchup. I was expecting a 4-2 or 4-3 in favor of the Shock. I wasn't really expecting the thwomping that came out here. That was messy. It was not as entertaining to watch as a viewer. Unfortunately, we did not make our way up to Philly for the event, but then on the fortunately side, we didn't have to watch that nasty sweep in person. So it wouldn't have been as thrilling. I mean, the audience looked lively. I think it would have been fun to be in the electric crowd up there. But it was shocking to see the results of this matchup. The Shock did come away 3 wins against Vancouver. I believe their last 2 matchups, they had wins before this one. So they've won 3 straight at least against Vancouver. So I don't think it's a huge, huge surprise that the Shock came out on top. I think the bigger surprise is that they did it in such a dominant fashion going 4-0.
And really, the other big surprise here is just how dominant of a start Vancouver had this season. Granted, yes, they were an expansion team. Yes, they have an amazing roster. They started out this season in such force. Like, they were dominating almost everyone they played up against. They were undefeated for so long. And then all of a sudden, Stage 3 happened. And then the meta changed in Stage 4, and it hit them even harder. They were struggling to compete against some bottom dwellers. They were struggling to compete against mid-range teams. They were struggling against top-tier teams. They were just struggling all over the place. They were able to somehow make it all the way to the finals. They were able to rely on their skill and their power and their communication and their chemistry as a team to make it all the way to the finals. But the Shock just did it better. The way they ran that organization from Season 1, where they weren't even competing in the preseason. There were a lot of hiccups with the rosters. You know, they were waiting for Sinatra to become of age so he can compete with the team. He has been an absolute force ever since he turned 18. Rascal coming over was massive for them. This team just kept performing and kept growing as a team, growing as an organization. And they put their best foot forward, and they showed why they are the team to be at the top of this mountain at Overwatch League Season 2 at the end. They are the champions.
Absolutely. San Francisco Shock looked really, really strong in season two. I think a lot of these roster players will return for season three. With them being so dominant, especially on the road to the finals after the loser bracket moves where they continue to just run rampant on people into the finals where they went 4-0 as well. The Shock looked very strong. There's going to be some seismic activity following them into season three. League of Legends Worlds kicks off this week with play-ins, John. There's about a billion matchups, it feels like, so we're not going to go through every one, but I'm going to pick a few out each day just to hear your thoughts. More than anything, just a quick decision. Who do you think is going to win in these tight matchups? Kicking it off, Clutch Gaming, UOL.
I'm going to go Clutch on this one. I don't think Unicorn's Love is as strong coming out of the Russian region. I think Clutch has something to prove. They have a bone to pick. I'm going to take Clutch.
Clutch is correct, if I had to guess as well. We have Detonation, Focus Me, and Splice. I think this is going to be a really good matchup between a high-powered Japanese team and the number three seed over in the LEC in Europe.
This has Spicy written all over it. I cannot wait to watch this matchup. 8 a.m., so I will be awake already this Wednesday, so super excited for that. That's Eastern time for those if you're listening on down the road. I want to take Splice on this. I think Splice can take them. Detonation Focus Me is going to put up a really good fight. I do see this one being a nail biter, probably a 40 plus minute match if you had to ask me.
Yeah, I'm going to go Splice as well. This to me is the big test of how good is Europe. Fnatic and G2 showed they're a lot better than Splice, but at the same point, Splice was that number three from that region. How are they going to fare against a stronger team from Japan that's really an up and coming region? That to me is going to be a real key player for the rest of the way Worlds plays out. Last match for here, Wednesday, October 2nd, I'm going to go with Detonation Focus Me again up against Isurus Gaming.
I'm going to take Detonation Focus Me in this one.
Okay, I like it. I think this is going to be your closest matchup of the day, if I had to guess. I think a lot of people are sleeping on Isurus, and I think they have a lot of potential. Detonation Focus Me as well. They did well last year, but again, they're still up and coming. They're in a growing region, both of these teams, and I think they have a lot to prove. I think this is going to be very spicy. On to Thursday, October 3rd. Who do we want to go with over here? We're going to go with Royal Youth and Flamengo.
I really like the name Flamengo.
I think it's Flamengo. Flamengo?
Flamengo.
Flamengo.
Flamengo. And it's definitely not Flamengo.
FLA.
Flamengo. What was the matchup again? I'm sorry. I got so caught up on pronouncing the name.
Oh, my gosh. Royal Youth up against FLA.
Royal Youth up against... I am going to take Royal Youth on this one.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's going to be a really good matchup. As will Mega up against Loki.
Loki, I'm picking Loki on this one.
Okie dokie. Hopefully Thor agrees with you. On to Friday, October 4th. This is pretty much the same thing. So this is going to be the rematches of them. We're just going to assume you doubled up for the sake of the editor in this show. I think there's really, really exciting matchups, though, to come, especially seeing these smaller regions really compete up against these higher region. Can someone knock off that number three from LCK, Damwon? Do we see action with the number three from NA or EU with Clutch Gaming or Splice? Can these smaller regions really bat up against these bigger regions? Can they show them that they really deserve to be here? I think that's why a lot of people watch play-ins. They want to see those crazy upsets. They want to see the bigger regions prove that they should be there if they should be. I think we're going to see some upsets. I think for the most part, we will see the major regions make their way through, but I would not be surprised to see an upset here or there. With that, John, I think it concludes us. We are excited. We have Worlds this week. Again, like John said at the beginning of the show, NA, it is looking like 7 a.m. is the kickoff time for NA, as opposed to, what was it, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in years past. So I'm pretty excited about that as well.
Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to Level Up Podcasts, let us know. Leave us a review on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. We would love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to reach out to us. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us and this show?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. Additionally, we stream regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live. You can catch stuff like this show Monday night, 7 p.m., 7:15 p.m., right around that time if Discord holds up for us. In addition to that, we stream regularly throughout the week as well. Streams on Tuesdays, streams on Thursdays. Check out the schedule on our website, otnmedia.org, or hit us up on Discord. That will be linked in the Twitch channel as well.
All right, MVP of this episode, Discord, you held up. Great job. We appreciate you. Make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor and hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of the Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. And as always,
Level up.
Level up.